Yes, everything. You can hear me. Good. All right. Thank you so much that we can come here together. Well, this morning I wake up. I thought it's gonna be nice and spring, but and it's overcast. So I'm wondering, it's gonna be more rain or not?
No.
I think we have a lot of rain lately. I don't know about your home, but my home is we have some prop leak in the roof, and I think the test come, you know, all these rain come at the same time, and see if your roof can stand, right? Especially those home, especially old homes. See, can we stand or not? Well, I have a little newer home 10 years ago, but it's not stand. So that mean something wrong with the builder. All right, I want to share with you this morning about Jesus and the end time judgment. Now, with the word judgment to you, what does it sound, negative or positive? When we hear about judgment, what does that mean to you? Do you like to hear judgment? How many people receive a letter from the court that you have to show up in court? You got no reason? Don't know what happened? But someone filed a judgment against you? That is not so good. Even though maybe we do something right, but I don't want to hear. I don't want to know about it. And so sometimes the word judgment have very negative connotation. But you know what? I cannot avoid that because the Bible mentions so many times about judgment. Maybe we have to look into about what judgment that the Lord tried to teach us about this. Okay, I want to share with you the first Bible text. We're going to talk about in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. You know, when I receive a letter from Supreme Court, either a speeding ticket or go to jury, I just don't like those letters. I don't know about you, but I avoid to go to court as much as possible. Now, some people, I talk to them, you know, it's good. I would love to be on jury duty because I don't have to work. I'd rather work than go on jury duty. I don't know about you, but sitting there and listening to all this here and then, I don't know. Because sometimes we might make a wrong judgment against someone that we have cast, and that's not good, right? Because we don't know enough, but they ask us to make decision for someone. I don't want to put someone in jail that I don't know nothing about it. Okay, so I talk to the jury and the people there, say, I'm a pastor and I don't like to pass judgment. I say, you have to. I don't want to. You have to. But I don't want to. Okay, you can go. I don't want you to be part of the juror, right? Because you are already biased, right? They don't want a bias on the jury, okay? So that's how I get out of it. Didn't let you guys know. All right. So the first Bible text I want to share with you, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Now listen to this text and try to think about it for a while, okay? Do not pass judgment upon this text quite quickly. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. How many people? All of us. None of us are able to escape. All of us have to be before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the thing done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. What does that Bible mean? That means everything we do in this life, when the day we die, are born until the day we die, everything recorded into the book of life. And maybe this side of the scroll, these are the good deeds, and this side is the bad deed. And if you have a more good deed in your scroll than the bad deed, you may be saved. But if you have less deed than good deed, right? Less good deed, then you may be lost. And so we have thought about those ideas. Is that occurring to your mind? Somehow we read the Bible text, somehow we grow up in different culture that we gotta learn how to do good deed. And if not, we will not be saved. So judgment somehow in the Bible repeated so many times that we fall into this trap. Now, I don't know where you come from, but I came from Buddhist background. When I grow up, the best thing for the little kid grow up, bring them into the Buddhist temple. And the Buddhist temple, you have all these drawing of what happened in hell. And if you drop a piece of rice, that means you go to hell. You eat worm or whatever you call. And so they scared the heck out of me. I still remember that. And so those things have been doctrinated, if you will, brainstorming in your mind that how judgment will take place. Matter of fact, the Bible used some analogy talking about Lazarus, right? And if you're not doing good, you go to a burning hell and you cried out to those up in heaven, please feed me, give me some water. And I'm telling you, this is just an analogy, a parable. That's what God tried to teach us that. God to teach us that we need to live a righteous life. So what does that mean? Why I bring about the end time judgment? Because the Bible mentioned about it. We're going to study about this a little bit here to understand what does it mean. Go with me in the book of Revelation chapter 14. I don't know about you, but this quarter we've been really studying the book of Revelation. Go in depth of what the book Revelation for the end time, especially the end time people. Now the judgment come of everyone, including everyone, a Christian or Adventist, okay? Revelation chapter 14, starting verse 6. Here, talking about the first angel. Then I saw a flying angel in the midst of heaven, having an everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Now, it's wonderful to hear that message, that everlasting gospel, a good news about the Savior, about the second coming, about salvation message to everyone. And so when I heard about this message that preached to me on particular a meeting hall in San Jose in 1992, I said, hooray, I believe in God and I'm going to be saved. And so I asked God, please come now. This is the time. If you go back, if you come before that, I'll probably be lost. But now I'm ready. But do not wait a little longer because I might fall. So a lot of time we think about our own self to be saved. We not think about others. But when Jesus said, the gospel need to preach how many people? To every tongue, every language, every tribe. And so that's the message that God said, this message needs to go out. When did that message went out? When? As most of Adventists at church, when does it go out? It's 1844. The message go out wide out and clear that everyone know about it. What is the message? Verse 7. Saying the loud cry, fear God and give glory to him. So number one is fear God. What is meant by fear God? Fear, how many people you fear of someone who have authority? When the policeman stop you, do you fear him? I better stop, I better run. like in the television, people run away from the police. I say, I hope I'm not doing that. Sometimes you want to escape to escape the ticket. But anyway, you got to stop because there's good for you. Matter of fact, one time I went to church and I was late. And, I'm very sad. As a pastor, come late for preaching. And I cannot say police, because my children back there, they make me late. I cannot say that. But the police said, it's not good for you to drive 80 miles per hour. It's not good for you. Especially you drive in the van and you have your family. Do you know how dangerous it is? And so he didn't give me a lecture, but he gave me a motivation. You know what? This is dangerous. You drive them free with that speed. And so it taught me a great lesson. When fear, if a right motive, is help you to change. But fear, it just tried to get by. That means I fear just enough to pay the dude. Fear enough that people won't caught me. That's what I'm talking about. Fear, that means you're willing to change for better. Fear God and give who the glory? Him the glory. You know why? Because so many people give other people glory or give ourselves the glory. Didn't I build all this? Didn't I did all this? Didn't I pass the exam? Didn't I have this job? Didn't I make all this money? Did I build this home? Did I buy this car? God said, fear him because he the one. God is the one who make all this. And worship him who make heaven and earth and sea and spring of it. That means everything on this earth God made. And so now calling people come back to God. Before that, people go what? Worship themselves. Worship other God. worship other things, or even don't worship anyone. God said, come back to worship him. And so now, the key text I want to share with you here, for the hour of his judgment has come. Here it is, judgment. We all will be judged. So in other words, everything we do, we have to do in the glory of God. We just not only live our life just for the sake of it. Oh, it doesn't matter. Do anything I want to, that's fine. No, God said we need to prepare ourselves for heaven. You know, before we can go to heaven, before God will take us to heaven, God got to bring heaven to us. Got to chain us. Got to prepare our heart for that. Because if you are not prepared for that, when you go to heaven, it's not going to be a happy place. You know, if you don't want to work, if you don't want to grow plant land, you know, right now, this is a wonderful springtime, by the way. Those who like plant garden, this is a wonderful time. Right? If you don't plant now, it'd be too late. If you plant now, someone will plant wheat in your backyard. That's what happened. Wheat can grow up. Okay? And so I start to dig a little bit and plant. That's when we have to sow the seed now. We have to work it now. Okay? And so now, if I want to enjoy it, you have to plan. So if we enjoy in heaven, we need to exercise. We need to live a life that God has calling us. Okay, and so the first thing I want you to get out of this is the three facts. The first fact is the judgment he's talking reveals God's mercy and love. Okay, I'm talking God's justice and mercy. That's what I mean. God's justice and mercy. Sometimes people say, well, I just only got mercy. That's it. I don't want a God justice. I want to believe in God to be saved. Oh, good, God would like to do that too. But like I say, in heaven, if you want to just go to heaven for the sake of having a beautiful home for free without paying mortgage, some of you probably still pay mortgage like me, or don't have to pay property tax, when in heaven there's no property tax, right? And so we want to achieve that, but don't want to do any work. Do you know what? If you don't want to do any work, how does it feel like? I see some people retiring have nothing to do, and they want to go back to work part-time or volunteer because it's so boring at home. You know? Not unless you do some gardening, you enjoy it. Okay, but a lot of times, you know, we go to heaven, you don't have to work. This is fun work. You work when you're tired, you can rest. You don't have to meet your deadline. You know, there's no deadline. Hope not in heaven. And I hate deadline, by the way. You know, make me worry before I even start working. Make me stress before I start working. And so here it is. God, mercy, and justice go hand in hand. God loves us, but God wants us to be right. Okay? We want to be right with him. We want to do things right. You cannot say, I want to be loved. I want to be cured from sickness, but I want to eat junk food. No. I want to live a good life in heaven, but I want to steal. Okay? So that's when God prepared us for heaven. That's been judgment about. So now, sometimes judgment we think about upon ourselves. Yes, that's true. But you ever thought about judgment also upon God? Do you know God sit on the hot seat where the whole universe look at him? As he hear all the people surrounded by Lucifer echoing that God is unjust, God is dogmatic, God is not loving, God is not forgiveness. You see that? And so now God had to sit on the seat to vindicate himself. Is he just? Now, if you want to talk about justice, fair in this world, many times it is unfair. You see, this word is unfair? No, I was lying in the hospital. I went to two hospitals and get my heart procedure. All the insurance paid most of it, but still I have to come up with $6,000. I have to pay for that. But here someone just come from nowhere to this country. And of course, I'm not getting into politics, so do not judge me on the politics. Some come to this country have not worked any hour, did not pay any tax, did not do anything, but every medical bill says free. Free. They go to the hospital for free. They go to the emergency room for free. They go to get medication for free. Everything is paid for. And I look at myself and say, what? It's not fair. Do you guys see it's unfair? But you know what? Why don't you think that because I'm healthy and so I still work and I have a better job, I can pay for my bill? For when someone just comes to this country as an immigrant, don't know English, don't have a job, and so they have no money. Why don't you look at it that way instead of look, hey, why I have to pay more and you, I have to pay and you don't have to pay. You understand? So God's justice is beautiful. If we count upon our justice, none of us will be saved. But we look at God's justice. God's justice. I'll give you an example. As we read in the book of the Bible throughout the year, and the first quarter we've been reading the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And we see the Israelites have been left and right. They left God, they worship idol, and they call upon God. God saved them so many times. This particular example that has touched my heart when I read the Israelite able to cry out to God, and God able to send a savior, if you will. Moses took them out of Egypt, and they able to walk into the promised land. But as they walk into the promised land, they cried out, say, God, you make us walk in the wilderness, and you make us to eat manna, which is vegetarian. We wish to go back to Egypt rather than to be slavery and eat meat. They keep crying, complaining, one thing after another, one thing after another. And come to the point, God's so tired of these people. 2 million people say, Moses, I'm calling you here. I'm going to destroy these people. I'm going to destroy the whole Israeli nation, and I will make you a great father of next nation. You know what Moses did? Moses say, yeah, God, do that. I'm so tired of this hard-necked people. No, Moses says, God, please save these people. And if you not take my name out of book of life. Man, I read that text and I just knew it and prayed. God, I couldn't believe it. Moses bear all the complaint and he willing to not go to heaven, allow these people to go to heaven. Do you see? God just said, did God save the people? Yes. Did God took Moses' name out of the book of life? No. So you see God's justice right there. God justice, but got so much mercy. So today, people follow Jesus Christ by God's grace and forgot about God's justice. Do away with God's law. Because man have break God's law, that's why we've been in a big mess. So God not only bring us back, but God want us to follow the right path. So you understand what I'm talking about? So judgment is not only to help us, but vindicate the whole world to know that God indeed have love. You know, God's love is so much more than you and I deserve. Sometimes we just think that if I just do one thing wrong, that God will zap me. God sit in heaven, do nothing, but wait for us to do something wrong. No. How many good deeds do you think in order for us to go to heaven? How many? Zero, that's correct. Because the thief on the cross, how many good deeds he have done? None. So God saved you because you have believed in him. Allow him to be part of your life. You see, that's it is. A basic thing like that. And so a lot of people just don't understand that. God's judgment is good, my friend, because he on your side. He will vindicate for you. He will support you. And no one put harm into you. And so the first thing is judgment is help us, you and I, to understand that God's justice and mercy go together. The second thing I want to bring with you in the book of Revelation chapter 14. Let's look at second angel messages here. Here it is, verse 8. And another angel followed. What's angel mean? a message, a messenger sending, saying, Babylon is falling, the great city, because she has made our nation, how many nation? Our nation, drink the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That means Babylon bring everyone down. So who is Babylon? Now, does Babylon exist today? No. So this is figurative. It's not literal. And so when is Babylon is falling? How many people remember when Babylon is falling? When is it? Yeah, but where based in the Bible? When? Back around 6 BC, right? 6th century BC. Let's go into the book of Daniel chapter 5. In order to understand the mean Babylon is falling, we have to understand Daniel chapter 5. The history, when the Babylon is falling, then we can apply that in our spiritual life. Daniel chapter 5. And here it is, talking about King Belshazzar. Now, before that, Babylon was a great nation, right? And marched into Jerusalem in 6th century BC and captures great people of God in Jerusalem, bring over Babylon and make them to be a slave, and bring those who are healthy and also who are in a royal family into Babylon University to train them so they can overseer Jerusalem. All right? And so it is. King Nebuchadnezzar is the one who did that, but God had worked with King Nebuchadnezzar, but later on, his great children, if you will take over the kingdom. Now, Belshazzar. Daniel chapter 5, verse 1. Belshazzar the king made great feasts for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of the thousand. Now it is, King Belshazzar during this time, what happened? He, in the kingdom, he opened the great feast and he bring all the wine, the best wine in, out, and let people get drunk and have enjoyed that feast. Wow! That happened outside Babylon is Medo Persia tried to break in. He's not afraid because Babylon B was so big that even they shoot an arrow, they even cannot reach the height of the wall. And the city is so designed so well that the Euphrates River run under it that they can live there for 20 years without go outside of the city. And so the thing is, I build the city, I have everything. Guess what? No one can take me down. So he decided to throw a party. He did not know this is the last party in his life, and this party in Babylon. Now, he not only throw a party, but he speak word against the Most High. Verse 2, while he tastes the wine, Belshazzar give the command, which King Nebuchadnezzar never do this, to bring the gold and the silver vessel which his father Nebuchadnezzar have taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem. What is this here? The cup of silver and gold is only used in the temple of God. And King Belshazzar said, you know what? I'm going to take this holy vessel to use it for me. That means, guess what? He speak against him. He said, you know what? Is this holy cup? See, I drink with wine. I drink with this. I eat with this. You know what? What does it mean by that? Holy. It's not holy. So he speak against the Most High. You know, when I share the gospel, especially eating and drinking with some other people, they say, you know what? What's wrong with smoking? See, I pick up a cigarette, I smoke. What's wrong with drinking? Here, I use a cup to drink. You know, this cup is very important. It's holy. You cannot use it, okay? Oh, no, look at it. I use it. Dear of God can zap me. You know, a lot of people using God holy thing for unholy thing. You understand? And so here, King Belshazzar go against God. Mock God. They say, I will use holy thing and see what God can do to me. And so King Belshazzar did not know that Babylon will fall that very night. Now, because I don't have time, you know the story, that later on, he see a writing on the wall, okay? A writing on the wall with our hand. He was fearful. Something happened. The music stopped. the drinking stuff. Everyone was shaking. They say, what happened? And you know that writing, we don't have time to get into that. It's talking about the judgment come that very night. The judgment come very night. They will lose to Media and Persia. Now, when the judgment come, this is what happened. King Belshazzar don't understand or don't could not interpret the meaning, so he called out Daniel. Okay? So he called out Daniel, and go with me right now as he go out Daniel and see what happened. Daniel chapter 5, we look at verse 22. Give you a little history. Now Daniel review all the incident happened King Nebuchadnezzar. He have turned away and he followed God and God saved him. He described all the incident to Belshazzar so he can repent. Guess what? Verse 22 says this. But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. Mark your Bible. Even though he knew everything that his father did, but he did not humble. Remember, understand sin. Sin is not what you don't know, but sin is what you know, but you continue doing it. You see, sin is what you know is wrong, but you continue doing it. So King Belshazzar decided, you know what? Who cares? I continue drinking. I continue to do whatever I want to. See if God, Jehovah, do anything to me. And so as we understand the story, that the condemnation will come to those people, to Babylon, who know what is right, but they not turn away to their wicked things to come back to God. So as you see the story unveiled to us, so the second point I want to share with you about the judgment is condemnation will come to those who lead people astray. The Bible says very clearly, I want to prove some text to you in Revelation chapter 20. Go with me in Revelation chapter 20. Let me ask you, the lake of fire, God created for whom? For three groups. That's one. Okay. Very good. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. The lake of fire was designed for who? And the devil who deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, right? So the devil and his angel and the beast and the false prophet. Okay? So three. The devil, the beast, which is talking about the Babylon. When you're talking about Babylon, it's falling. And so a whole corrupt religious breakdown, if you will. So there's a four religions come upon. Because you know why? Because Babylon is worship. Remember we're talking about the second angel message. It's talking about worship. Make everyone bow down. If you read a chapter before Revelation chapter 14, which is Revelation chapter 13, talking about the beast, right? The two beasts, right? So the beast make people worship him, right? And so now it's talking the beast, same thing with Babylon, is falling. So that whole religious collaboration will fall into the lake of fire. And who else? The false prophet, the false teacher, the one who have called many people going the wrong church. That's what happened. But what I want to point out this is the lake of fire was not designed to cure the human race. It was not. God does not want to destroy us in the lake of fire. But because the human race are wicked, follow the people who deceive them, that's why the lake of fire. But other people, how did they die? At the end of a 1,000 years? It's by fire and brimstone from heaven when they take over New Jerusalem. So condemnation come to the little horn, if you will, if you study Revelation, Book of Daniel, go to the Babylon is falling, okay? And so that's what judgment is all about. The judgment, number one, is to reveal God's mercy and justice. The second fact is to judge the Babylon, little horn, you will, this couple, the beast, if you will, that's what all the terminology is, it's synonymous. Now, the third thing, the facts about the judgment I want to share with you. And this is the most beautiful thing that I want you to take a look at. Go with me in the book of Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. If you've been studying the book of Revelation, you know, second, Revelation chapter 2 and 3, talking about the seven churches. Okay? And we live in a time of Laodicean. But when we go to chapter 4, unveil us the more deeper understanding with the judgment. Revelation chapter 4. Okay, I'm starting reading verse 1. And these things I look, John, look, and behold, the door stand open in heaven. Beautiful thing. That God opened the door in heaven for John and for all who received Jesus Christ. Okay? So the door opened for everyone who are willing to enter. And the first voice which I heard was like the trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here. I will show you things which must take place after this. So now the doors haven't opened. So John enter, and also to see the whole history from John time into the end of the world. That's pretty good, huh? That means God wants to reveal us everything going to take place. Remember, Revelation chapter 2 and 3, talking about seven period of God churches, right? And now going deeper inside God churches. And now, he went to verse 4. Around the throne, there's 24 elders. Now we see 24 elders in God's throne. That means the first fruit, those who resurrected after Jesus Christ resurrected and go in heaven, right? That's the first fruit. So we worship, John worshiped the 24 elders, and God say no. I mean, the people, the elders say, no, do not worship me because you and I are brothers. Do not worship, okay? And so you will be enter in the same thing in heaven like that. So now, I want to jump into chapter 5 to let you see this. Because when we walk into the holy temple, we see everything is holy, and there's something, John saw something amazing. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside on the back and sealed with the seventh seal. Wow, that's a scroll. The scroll will describe everything. The salvation of all. And John really wanted to take a look at the scroll. And he wanted to see what in the scroll. But who can open it? No one. Except who? Except who? Now, if you really look at with me in book of verse 6. And I look and behold, in the midst of the throne, because no one can open, the elders can open, the four living creatures can open. And he saw the throne and the four living creatures in the midst of the elders stood the Lamb as though it was been slain. Who was the Lamb who had been slain? Jesus Christ, having the seven horns and seven eyes, and only the Lamb can open the scroll. Only the Lamb can open the scroll. Why? Because the people in the scroll, it will be judged in the throne of God, and only the one who represents us is Jesus Christ can read out those names. Now, of course, the scroll mentioned a lot about the history of the end time, but I want to add into there that during the judgment, Jesus Christ was there. Now, what do you mean Jesus Christ was there? He sit on the throne, and you or I, our name will call upon. Your name, then your name, then my name will call upon. When we stand up to judge, guess what? The Lord will, the Jesus Christ will say, that son, that daughter, belong to me. When it belongs to Jesus, that person is saved. That's how it is. The name, your name will write in the book of life. That means it doesn't matter what you did in life. As long as you accept Jesus, as long as you have been changed by him, you in the book of life, and God said, that belonged to me. Now, let me see you. If your name will come up and call, and Jesus say, I don't know him. And guess what? The devil will claim that person. That's why we see in the book, in the Revelation, okay, we see continually seven, and seven talking about the seal of God, and also 13 talking about the What? The mark of the beast. And so at the end time, on our forehead, either we have a seal of God or what? Or the mark on our forehead. That's it. And so when we walk up to the throne, we see the seal of God. He claimed, that's me. That's mine. But we see the mark of the beast. That's what? That's not mine. So in other words, God cannot defend for us. The blood of God, the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cover our sin. Because that person decided, I don't want Jesus Christ cover my sin. I want the beast cover my sin. You understand? So important. The judgment is so important. Now you think about the judgment. He's talking about us, right? No, he's talking about the righteousness of God. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of Jesus Christ, because the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the earth. And so another, for you and I to be saved is depend on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because you and I have not done anything. Our righteousness like a what? Like a filthy rag. Isaiah say that. Nothing we did or will do is righteous. My friend, sometimes we thought we'd do a good deed, but in God's eye, it's nothing. We come short to the glory of God. We come short. You know, sometimes we say, you know, I love that person. I bring flour. I do everything. I love that homeless. I bring food for them. You know what? It's not nearly anything to the standard of God heaven. Because we did that because for us, for purpose. Sometimes God did something is not for purpose. God did everything. God saw someone was a leper, right? Leprosy. God willing to touch that leprosy to save that person, even though he might be contracted. But for us, I will bless them from my 9 feet of pole. You know, I will give that. See, I understand? Our love is not compared what God tried to point out to us. And so, as much we do good, it's nothing. And so, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is so important. Now, what does that mean to you and I in terms of judgment? That means we need to let God to be important to us. His righteousness is important to our life. Accept Him. Accept Him. Accept Him. How many times did Jesus say, only accept me that you shall be saved? As simple as that. And as we go into the church so many times, sometimes we try to weight our good deed, which is important. I'm not underlining that, but it's so important. You see, if you accept the kind of Christ, good deed will come out of it. But if you try to do good deed without Jesus Christ, it's hard. It's tough. And you're going to fall short. And you get upset. You know, when I go try to witness and helping people, if I could see the number, how come I won't knock so many doors and no one accept? How come I call so many people and no one accept, weren't willing to study the Bible? You know what? Because I base on my work, on my deed. No. You fall short if you base on yourself. But if you feel God, it doesn't matter. I will do it. I don't care about the number. I don't care the consequence. I just do it because I love God. You understand? And so now the third part of judgment is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now I want to end with this story. Because at the end time, so many people lost. It's not because they don't know. But they know, but they don't want willing to follow. They're not willing to follow. And so there's a particular man. He decided to hang out in the bar with his friend. And he get drink, and somehow he get drunk. And he get into a fight. And when he get in a fight, he accidentally kill his friend. And so the whole village come out. And the policeman come out and put him to jail. And so they cast a judgment upon him. And so he sent him, and this is back in 1800, and sent him all the way to the jail in Sacramento. And now, back then, if you kill someone, guess what? You will be hanged. That's it. you die. And so the village people say, you know, this is a good man. How can he just make one mistake? And now he was die for his one mistake. And so the village come together. You know, we have to write a lot of letter, go to the governor of California, and so and see we can ask for forgiveness. And so the governor received all these letters, thousands of letters, and say, you know what? Maybe something good about this young man. And so the governor decided, you know what? Maybe I will visit him in the prison, in the cell, and see if he's really a good man or not. But before he do that, he dressed up like a lawyer or attorney, if you will. He walk in there and say, hey, man, I heard you got a problem and all this, and I can help you. And I'm an attorney. I can get you out of jail. And that young man say, I don't need your help. I don't need your help. Don't you understand that they cast a judgment on me that tomorrow I will be hanged? Don't you understand that? Don't you understand I just commit one bad mistake and they hang me? And the lawyer said, you know, I can help you. You just trust me, I can help you. I can represent for you. Say, I don't need you. I don't need you. And I asked the debate going on. And the next morning, and the lawyer come back again and said, you know what, today I know is a very bad day. And the guy said, yeah, I know. Why do you come and visit me? I want to help you last time. Do you want me to help you? I don't need any help. I don't need any help. And so as the lawyer walking out, and that guy is so down and said, you know, it's almost time that you have to go out there and face the people. And the guard come in, and you know what? Do you know what you did? That was the governor. And he forgive your sin, and you can get out of jail right away and live. Why do you cast him out? And he hold his head and say, what? I didn't know that. Oh, he's so more miserable. And he took, and the time has come. He took that guy out and ready to be hanged. And they asked him, you have any last word to say? And this is what he said. Listen to this. Today I die. It's not because the sin that I committed, because I reject the governor who give mercy upon me. My friend, so many people were lost at the end time. It's not because of the sin that they committed, but we reject the Savior who come to this world to die for them. That's it. We are hanged on the very thin line between heaven and earth is because we accept Jesus Christ or not. Sometimes we focus so much how much we have done, how much that we did not do for God. My friend, the important thing is how much love you have for Jesus. Do you accept him as your Savior? Do you accept him to be your mediator on the day of the judgment day to you? That's what's the most important. In order to do that, we have to connect with him now. You got to be friend with him. You got to welcome him. Jesus, please be Lord of my life. Be the Lord of my life that I will willing to follow you wherever you go. Do whatever you do. My friend, that's the only way. So the judgment is more than what will happen to us, but what had happened to Jesus, who have paid everything for you. You and I are saved right now if only we'll accept Jesus Christ. That's it. So the judgment will become good news for those who accept Jesus Christ and become bad news for those who reject him. How about you? Are you accepting him today? May God bless each one of you as you and I will find judgment is a positive thing, a good thing, because Jesus had paid in full. May God bless you.